huge news, years in the making, my brand new book that my publishers refuse to publish, Money Matrix. Beat the money system and build generational wealth. Understand the three main ways that the banks productize you and make money from you. You'll be able to turn that system against itself, build generational wealth and multiple streams of recurring income. It's all at moneymatrix.cash. And if you're quick, the first few hundred registrants and buyers will receive many special bonuses from me. The brand new Moneymaker Summit 3-day special event. Meet me at a champagne reception. Meet me at a multi-millionaire networking dinner. Go now, moneymatrix.cash. This is huge.
Welcome to the Disruptive Entrepreneur Podcast.
What does the word disruptive mean to you?
It means going beyond the ordinary, going beyond the status quo.
Not thinking in the conventional way, not just sort of following the herd.
Disruptive means taking things up, you know?
Disruptive entrepreneur is somebody who sees the problem and embraces the problem with a new way.
Shake up, an awakening.
Quality will take care of itself, and you'll go from being disruptive, but also profitable.
When you use your own reservoir of talent, when you love what you do, then you disrupt.
Mix it up, change it up, and dominate.
And now, your host, 8 times best-selling author and double world record holder, Rob Moore.
Hi, it's Rob Moore here and welcome to the Disruptive Entrepreneur Podcast. Now, this interview is like no interview I have ever done. I've gone a bit left field on you here, but I think you're going to love it. This guy is a bundle of energy and he's known as the world's biggest blagger. So he's a YouTube vlogger. Recently, you may have seen on YouTube a video that went viral, got millions of views, where he sneaked into a Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor fight. He got photos with the fighters. He got second or third row tickets. He'll tell you how much they are and how he got in. And I grill him on how he does it and how he overcomes the objections. He randomly flies to places all over the world, thinks, you know, like Wimbledon or, you know, the Brit Awards or the MTV Awards or the EMAs or whatever, and blags his way in as if he's some kind of celebrity. So he just literally follows himself around the world with a video camera, vlogging on what he does. And I think you are going to love it. So here is my Disruptive Entrepreneur interview with Simon Wilson. So, what is this world's biggest blagger? Just start talking. Why are you known as one of the world's biggest blaggers?
So, it all started with Conor McGregor. Obviously, I snuck into Conor McGregor versus Mayweather in Vegas.
Wait a minute. When you say obviously, a lot of people here aren't going to know.
So, when Conor fought Mayweather in Las Vegas, I basically went to Vegas just to soak up the atmosphere. There was no intention of going to the fight at all. Blagged a free ticket to the weigh-in. Went to the weigh-in and the atmosphere was just like next level, as you can imagine. Mm. So I just thought, oh my God, I need to be at that fight. I just need to be there. So I went to the ticket booth. I was like, oh, how much are the tickets? And they were like, oh, the cheapest ticket we've got is $3,000. I thought, not only did I not want to pay that, I didn't have it anyway. Yeah. So I was like, I can't. So I just thought, you know what? I'm going to sneak in. I'm just going to do it.
Gamble.
Exactly, yeah. So I went back to the hotel room, switched the camera on, and that's where the video started. And next,
so that you've done a video and it's had like a huge amount of views, hasn't it?
Yeah, so across all platforms, millions.
Wow, millions of views.
Yeah.
Of you basically just doing a little vlog in your pants going, I'm going to sneak in. and basically snuck into the fight.
Yeah, exactly. So it was filmed on my camera, my iPhone. I edited it all on my iPhone.
Yeah.
So it's the most basicest video
ever.
So
you didn't pay for the ticket.
Didn't pay for the ticket.
But you got in.
But I got in.
And you got how close to the fight?
So I was 3 rows from the front.
Right.
It was like 800 grand seat. It was just, 800 grand seat, 100 grand seat.
Yeah. Watched the fight.
Watched the fight.
A few photo bombs of Conor.
Photo bombs of Conor. Chilling with the stars. And then I went to the post-press conference afterwards.
Right.
So what's mad though, and nobody knows this, right? When I was in the post-press conference at the end, so who had it? Showtime. So when Conor came out and he was asking questions, the woman was by the side with a clipboard. So obviously everybody from the media was putting their hands up. Mm. So I was I thought, oh my God, if I could ask a question in the post-press conference, it would have been sick. Yeah. So I was putting my hand up to ask a question. The woman was just looking at me going. So I didn't manage to get that in.
Right. But so I want to ask you how you did it. So obviously my podcast, A Disruptive Entrepreneur, and all the people that follow me, they're entrepreneurs. Yeah. And every now and again, I like to share something a bit different, which is this.
Yeah.
But I guess if there's a theme, it sounds like you've got courage, you've got kahunas, it sounds like you haven't really got a fear of getting rejected. You just sort of think, I want to do this, and then you do it. And I'd really like to explore that.
Yeah.
But this is, the Connor thing wasn't the first time you've done this kind of blaggery.
No,
is it?
Definitely.
So tell us about another time.
So I've done a lot after, and I've done a lot before that I've not filmed. Like, if we go back 5 years ago, I snuck into Wimbledon, into centre court. I watched Roger Federer versus Djokovic.
Yeah.
And I watched Murray versus Songa. So I watched the two semi-finals.
Is this not like illegal?
It's not illegal. It's trespassing, and trespassing is a civil matter. So
right. So you've worked out.
Yeah,
the law.
I've done my research.
Just because you're livening out to a lot of people.
All about the due diligence.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And tell us some other things you've done. Other blagging.
So after the Conor McGregor, I went to LA. I did the 69th Emmy Awards, which was just crazy. I went to the Governor's Ball afterwards with like James Corden, like all the main stars. That's where everybody goes to get their Emmys engraved. I've done Sports Personality of the Year.
I saw that. That looked great. You've got like arm in arm photos with
Gareth
Southgate
and everything. Yeah, asking about the World Cup in Russia. Yeah. Crazy.
Do all these people, because it's such a like a close environment, do they all look at you like you should be there and just don't assume you shouldn't?
Yeah. So in regards to that, yeah, they do. They just assume I should be there. Yeah. And I think that's where like confidence comes into play, where I always act as if I'm supposed to be there.
Right.
And I think when you act like that, it's energy, you know, people, if I was a bit awkward or a bit, you know, people might think, oh, who's that guy sort of thing. But, you know, I just walk around like I own the place sort of thing. So,
you know, there's a lot in business, isn't there? And in mindset about acting as if, you know, they say fake it till you make it, though I prefer be it till you see it. But do you think that helps then, you know, putting yourself in that state of I'm meant to be here, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do. And do you find that people feed off you in a different way?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. It's about just confidence. And like you said, it's about just when you're there and you're just acting as if you're supposed to be there and you're having conversations, you're on their level, you know, don't get me wrong, when I was in the Conor thing, I was shaking, you know, speaking to Conor McGregor and Mayweather and speaking to Mayweather's dad, like having a conversation with Gerard Butler, you know, all these people. I was like this with the camera. I was actually like shaking. But, you know, since then, and the more I've done it and the more I've filmed it and stuff like that, now they're just normal people. Do you get me? And I don't pedestal them anymore. So you just have you're yourself with them, you have a conversation with them, and people, it's as if I was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And have you got better at it? You know, have you almost like worked out a model and a system?
I wouldn't say a model or a system, but again, it's just how you speak to people.
Yeah.
But I think I've always been like that with people. Do you get me?
I just wish you were my wingman when I was single, mate. That would have been so good. I would have had such a dry
bird.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Go on.
Yeah, no. So where was I? I forgot now.
No, me too. Yeah. System. Have you developed a system? Yeah. Have you got better at it?
So again, I haven't really got a system as such. It's more of how you speak to people and sort of how you get in.
And how do you speak to people?
Just building instant rapport. You know, when you go up to a security guard, if you're like, oh, mate, I'm going in, I'll try and walk past him, he's going to stop you.
Yeah.
So how I normally do it is, you know, you go up to a security guard, oh, mate, how long have you been working for? And he's like, oh, 10 hours. I'm like, oh, mate, I've had a long day myself. I've been here since 8. And you have that conversation with him. And once you've sort of had that conversation, see you later, mate. And you walk in, it's as if you're supposed to be there anyway, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So at each sort of checkpoint where you're not supposed to get through, you're just trying to act like you're like the main guy that's supposed to get through.
Correct.
And they let you through.
Exactly that. I just act as if I'm a part of the... Because that's what it was in Vegas. You know, I'd go up to a security guard and I'd be like, oh, mate, how hot is it here? He'd be like, oh, yeah, it's boiling. I'd be like, oh, I just can't wait to finish today. And they'd be like, oh, so what time do you finish, mate? And I was like, well, it depends, really. It could be late, could be a bit earlier. What about yourself? By then, they think you're a part of it anyway, and then you're just walking straight in, sort of thing. So,
crazy. Funny, man. What else? What others have you done?
So, Emmy Award, Sports Personality. Bloody hell, I don't know. I've forgotten myself now. I did the MTV Awards.
Right.
That was awesome. Backstage All-Stars, Eminem, Stormzy, French Montana, you name it.
So like I'm a bit old to know a couple of those. So, how'd you do it then? Come on, tell us. I know you've said acting as if and all that.
Yeah.
There must be more to it than that. You can't just rock up and go, and you're in backstage, so how'd you do it?
It literally is just about tipping up. They've all been about tipping up. Like the McGregor.
Tipping up, as in
turning. Yeah, as in, sorry.
I speak Peterborough, mate. I don't understand what that means.
Yeah, it's all about just, for me, it's I turn up.
Yeah.
And I assess it from there.
Right. Turn up, no money, no ticket.
Exactly. Exactly that. Like the MTV Awards. When I went to London, I went down to London to see a friend. I saw a poster for MTV Awards. And I thought, I may as well try it. So I tried it. I turned up at the venue. I'd never seen the venue in my life. When it said at Wembley, I thought it was at the stadium. But not until I got to the stadium, I realised Wembley's actually got like an SSC arena at the side, which is like a more of a concert place. I didn't even realise it was there until I actually physically got there.
Yeah.
And then I thought, right, how am I going to do this? So I was just walking around.
How'd you do it when you like, because surely you go to a place with a ticket.
Yeah,
and, you know,
well,
you have a ticket, you get in. You don't have a ticket, you don't get in. Clearly, I've got a closed mind here. I'm not thinking naturally. Yeah. So how are you getting in without tickets?
So again, for the MTV Awards, I actually walked to a public entrance with a ticket. Not with a ticket, to the ticket place where he takes tickets.
Yeah.
And then they've got like the airport scanners.
Yeah.
So I put my bag and my camera on the side to go through and the guy goes, oh, can I see your ticket? So I was like, mate, do you think I carry this camera around for a laugh? I was like, I'm working.
Right.
And he just went, no problem, mate. And I just walked through. But then with the McGregor one and...
Do you like plan these little scripts? Because
no,
I remember when
completely.
I used to try and go up to women when I was trying to get out of my way. I'd try and plan the first line. So I'm not there like... You don't even plan
completely
it.
Completely not planned.
Just, so you literally are just a blagger. Obviously there's more to you than that. But.
Yeah, but honestly, it's completely not scripted. After there's no preparation, there's no plan. And, you know, the MTV Awards and the McGregor... You know, I'm in skinny jeans. I'm not trying to blend in with anybody. I've gone as me with my camera. And, you know.
Do you not get scared? You're not like, you know, you're putting your camera on through to go to the scanner. You know someone's going to ask you, where's your ticket? Do you not like shit yourself?
Not really, if I'm honest. Like, there's a bit of like, oh my God, you know, if I get caught, but.
And does that kind of like excite you?
I'm buzzing. I'm just like, right, let's go.
Yeah.
But with me, like, and this is what I'm like in every aspect of my life, I'm always pushing the boundaries.
Yeah.
So once you're in then. So you think, what can I do next? What can I do next? What can I do next? And that's been the case every time. Like the Conor McGregor fight, I walked out with McGregor to the ring.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought I'd be doing that sat in a hotel. And then I got in and then I walked him to the ring. Same with MTV. I got in to the public entrance. So I'm in, actually can watch the show now. Yeah. But I'm like, I need to get backstage. So then I try and I get backstage and then I'm backstage.
So basically, the harder it is for you to get in, the more you want to do it.
100%.
Yeah, you're like a sadomasochist,
mate. Exactly, just in.
Wow.
Crazy.
Man, that is crazy. I don't think I've ever met anyone that's done anything like that. You know what? We were talking about this before we put the video on. There was a TV show about a guy who got in on a Man U team photograph. And so you'd have to check that out and watch that. There's a whole documentary about how it happened. And it made me think, you should have a TV show.
Yeah.
You've got some news about that, haven't you?
Yeah. So basically a company in LA, like I can't say too much just because at the stage you're at, but... A company in LA wanted to speak to me about the Conor McGregor. That was solely off the McGregor video.
Right.
Everything I've done since has just been like...
So has your life gone a bit crazy since that
video? It's all gone a bit crazy.
Everyone like me wanting a piece of your time and all that.
It's literally gone mad. And obviously the more I've done, it just adds to it.
Yeah.
But I was never meant to go to LA from Vegas. I was supposed to come back to Boston to fly home. Because I was actually on a new series on ITV2. I don't know if you've seen that at all.
What's it called?
Dress to Impress.
Oh, okay.
So I was on that.
I'll have to watch that.
Yeah, it was a good episode. Like I won the episode sort of thing. So yeah,
what,
it was
dressed
good.
Like that.
I was.
I'm
actually,
only
yeah.
joking.
No, I actually
talk,
was.
Yeah.
I actually was. So I was supposed to fly back to the UK, but then I got a call from a company in LA who wanted to meet me. I met them, went really well. Met another production company, management company, sort of going along, and then, you know, I've been signed. We're looking at doing a show. I'm looking about flying out there next February. It's in creative stages at the minute.
Are you allowed to say what the show's about?
I can't, but...
Come on, give us something. All these people watching you live.
The only thing I can say is that it sort of goes in with my brand that anything is achievable.
Right.
In sort of like, you know, if you put your mind... You know, everything I've ever done, it's been about having a crazy idea in my head. I've believed in that idea. I've wanted to do it and I've made it happen.
Yeah.
So that's the sort of bones of the TV show. Right. So other than that, you'll have to wait for it.
Yeah. All right, then, well, when you know what it is, where it is, when it is.
Yeah, 100%.
If you can let my community know first, and we'll follow you and support your work.
Oh, I really appreciate
it. So there's a few other things I want to get into. One is, I said to you before we put the cameras on that I felt that, like, you're 26, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I'm 39. So we're almost like half to two thirds of a generation apart. And I've definitely noticed more with people around your age, there seems to generally be a more free, carefree attitude. Mm. You were saying, oh, I just went to LA or Vegas for a month. I only had 200 quid in my pocket. I had no more money left. Whereas I was, you know, at 26, I was trying to build an empire.
Yeah.
And buying all these properties and all that kind of stuff. So just talk about that. You know, the fact that you just seem to travel a lot and be free and don't always have a lot of money in your pocket, but you seem to be able to get by and have fun.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, before I traveled, like before last year, so sort of from 17 to 24, I didn't really travel a great deal. I had the holiday, you know, the main holiday every year, but I hadn't really traveled. It was only because I wanted to sort of find, I didn't feel I'd found my passion yet.
Because you, I mean, obviously we know each other from property.
Exactly,
and you were in property heavily, weren't you?
Yeah, so I was in property for years. Like, I was in Milton Keynes. I worked for a big high-end estate agency in London.
Yeah.
I opened my own estate agency in Kettering as well.
Right.
You know, I did a load of things, but nothing ever sort of clicked with it for me. I never thought, right, I love this, I want to do this. Yeah. So that's when I thought, you know, I'm just going to go traveling and, you know, I'm just going to put myself out there and grow as a person and experience things. And I'd always, like, done things with people.
Yeah.
And I just thought, if I travel alone, you know, you're throwing yourself in the deep end. And going to Thailand, like, one story, like, changed it for me. And I've always said, like, when I went to Thailand...
On your own?
I went with a friend for that one. I travelled on my own, but I met a friend there. And there was this guy, and he'd take us round in the taxi every day. He just lived sort of next to the hotel. He had a little shed, a hammock. And he took me back. He was taking us round every day, like a £10 to literally take us out for the day. It was crazy cheap. And then when he was taking me back to the airport, I said to him, I said, do you like Thailand? And he looked at me daft and he was like, my country. And I was like, yeah. And he just went, you could see the emotion in him. And he went, I love my country. And something, like, it was a bit of an epiphany for me. Like, I just thought, this guy has got nothing at all. He sleeps in a hammock outside this little shed, which he calls home.
Yeah.
And I thought, he's happier than me. Do you get me? Like, I'm like, oh yeah, I hate Wrexham and shit. Sort of thing. Yeah. And this guy.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. And this guy is like, so, and I just thought, oh my God, I thought I don't know. Something just clicked.
It just opened your mind.
Yeah, completely. And that
travel can do that to you, can't it?
Yeah. 100%. And when I got home, like I said to you before we started filming, that, you know, I was going to come home from Thailand, get back, get my head stuck into work, make things happen like I've always done.
Yeah.
But I just had to go traveling again. And that's when I went to America with like $200.
Yeah. So what's the thought process in that then? Is it like, I've not got much money, I challenge myself to get out of my comfort zone, or I love the thrill of the chase, or I want to go and experience new places? You know what? Because for me, I'll be honest with you, like, if I only had 200 quid left, I'd be like, oh, you know, I wouldn't find that exciting. You know,
well, that's the thing. A lot of people messaged me while I was out there saying, oh my God, I'd love to do what you're doing. Then I'm saying hundreds of their messages. Yeah. Then I'd message back, why don't you?
Yeah.
And all of them would come back with, I haven't got enough money.
Well,
to be honest, I at that point, I just thought, I didn't say anything.
Right, yeah.
I just thought, I'll just leave it at that. And but inside I'm thinking, I would put my life on you having more money than me and me doing that.
Yeah.
But you
just go out there and find work and
hustle. Just make it happen. Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, when you're, it's like with anything, it's like when I had the business as well, when you can't eat, right? When you're literally, you've got no money for food, or you haven't got food, you're in foreign land with absolutely nobody. You can't ring your mum up and say, Mum, can you drop me off a butty?
Yeah.
You know, you're there. You have to make things
happen.
You have to. And, you know, when I was there, I literally, the first time I went, I spent literally half my money in the first night. I'm sleeping in some hostel in Boston. I've got my laptop in bed with me because I'm scared of leaving it. I'm thinking, what the have I done here, sort of thing. But the next day I'm thinking, right, I need to make this happen. What networking events are going? I went to a networking event, Landmark Forum. So I did the Landmark Forum in Boston.
Right.
But I went to like this introductory meeting at the start. And there was like 300 people in the room. And he was like, does anybody want to share a story? I put my hand up. I stood up in front of like 300 people and just said, I know this sounds a bit nuts, but I said, I'm from the UK. I flew to Boston last night. I'm very short on money. I've got sort of nowhere to stay after tonight. And I'd love to get some part-time work to make some money. I said, if anybody knows of any of those two things, I'd really appreciate it. Everyone's like clapping, fair dues to the guy, fair dues. And obviously yeah. Americans being, you know, really enthusiastic as well. Yeah. Like at the end.
But you got loads of high fives.
Loads. Yeah. And at the end, there was like people coming up to me. They were like, oh, listen, I've got work. We've got this, you know, I'll help you out. Stay with me for a few nights. So it was like, it just come from there. And, you know, when you, it's the same with it. When you put something out and you that energy, it comes back. It comes back.
I've always said to people that sometimes the fact that they're comfortable is actually a bit of an enemy of them going and doing new things.
Yeah, 100%.
Because we've all got this thing you said about, you know, when you can't eat and you've got no money left, every human being on the planet will get very resourceful. They'll pick up the phone. They'll call people in the phone book. They'll go to events like this. They'll
exactly.
just say, hey, everyone, I'll go and work for you. They'll walk into an estate agent and say, hey, I'll go and get in your car and do viewings for you.
Exactly.
But they don't when they're just on that sort of comfort level.
Exactly.
So yeah, probably you're a great example for people of getting yourself uncomfortable from time to time. And have you found that that's a thrilling experience for you? Have you ever had any moments where you've thought, why don't I just do something fucking normal?
Yeah, or like I thought that.
Bet your mum says that all the time. Simon.
Yeah. She's like, what do you actually do? I'm like, I don't really know, to be honest. Yeah. But no, there's been loads of times I've thought, you know what? I just need to chill out a bit. Yeah. I thought I just need to sort of like
get a job, get a girlfriend, job. Do
exactly.
normal stuff,
buy a house, and stay there for the next 20 years. But no, I've thought that on a few occasions. But again, it's just getting past those bits and you know, when your money starts coming in and you look back at those times, it means so much more. Yeah. And it's just great. But going back to what you were saying about what sort of drives me to do that. I've always had the mentality since I was like 15, 16, that as long as my parents have a house with a room in it, I've always got somewhere to stay.
Yeah.
And every business, when I was in property and I thought, I'll go to Milton Keynes, I thought, if it doesn't work out, my parents have got a house with a room in it. I've always got somewhere to go back to. When I opened the estate agent, I thought, you know, if I lose everything, if my parents have got a house, I've still got a room to go back to. So the reward's always been greater than the risk. And I'm always about that, you know, if the end goal is bigger than the risk, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Like one of my goals while I was in Hollywood as well, I did a video on it, was I wanted to climb to the Hollywood sign and sit in the letters.
Right.
But I got there and the Hollywood sign's on on a cliff. And I just thought, I'm not risking my life to join. But with the McGregor fight, the reward was greater than the risk.
Yeah.
So it's all been about that. And that's what sort of driven me. I've sort of worked out the pros and the cons. And if the pros are always higher, it's a no-brainer.
Right. So you're not as frivolous and carefree as maybe it might seem.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm
not risking everything, but at the same time, I am very impulsive with things. You know, sometimes I do things, I think, shit, I should have thought about that sort of thing. But yeah, like, I always weigh things up, definitely.
And I think that's a good point. You know, a lot of people who follow me, they're in property, they've got their own business, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, let's say they're in a job and they want to start property like you did and I did. You know, you and I have done that at a young age. And people think it's a massive risk, but what they don't realise is they leave their job, they try property, it doesn't work, then go back to their job.
Yeah.
But I fell out with my boss. We'll go and get a job at a different company. But I'll have to take a pay cut. Fine, take a 20% pay cut and reduce your expenses by 20%.
Yeah.
It's actually not as big a risk as you think.
Yeah.
But what about the upside?
Exactly.
You know, for me, you know, and you know how great property is.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, that's...
And the thing with it is as well, and this relates completely with property and the fact that when I bought my first house when I was 18, I bought it for $37,500 on a Friday.
Yeah.
Literally got an investor, agreed purchase price, sold it the following Friday for $52,500. I flipped it for £15,000, obviously less legal fees. We didn't do any refurb on it because we got it at like 50% because I knew the agent.
Yeah.
But where I'm going with this was at the time I was a modern apprentice for Wrexham County Borough Council. I was earning £500 a month and I just made 15 grand in a week. I'm thinking, oh my God, I quit my job. I went into property full time from that moment.
Yeah.
And property, you know, it was great. But with everything in life, everything's got ups and downs sort of thing. But when I flipped that house, made 15 grand in a week, I thought I'm going to be a millionaire at the end of the year. I thought, oh my God, I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 20. You know, and now I'm 26 and I'm still not a millionaire.
Yeah.
But this sort of videoing now has worked for me, and obviously I'm going to do a TV show and it's going to be mega, you know, it's sort of like, I'm, you know, don't want to get too ahead of myself, but at the same time, I've sort of made it in a way, sort of thing. I've got there now, I've got the audience and it's growing.
Yeah.
But when you look at it on the whole scale, you know, I got into property when I was 18. I've been entrepreneurial and trying different things since I was 18, and now I'm 26 and something's clicked.
Yeah.
It's taken me 8 years. You know, people get into things and think, oh yeah, in 12 months I'm going to be like that. I was one of them people. But you've just got to stick at it, and it does work.
Yeah.
I would never advise anybody going back to a job, because your life's over then, isn't it?
Yeah. And sometimes you do have to try a fair few things. You know, we look at the next opportunity, we think, oh, that's going to make us a lot of money or be perfect.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rare few times it is.
Mm.
Sometimes we change when we didn't give enough chance. But often, actually, the thing that works for us is the fourth try or the fifth try. I was an artist, I was an architect, I was a pub landlord, you know, all of those things. And whilst they were decent in some ways, like you said about this, and property, it wasn't my heart's calling.
Exactly.
So sometimes you just got to keep trying.
Exactly, 100%.
And you've definitely followed your heart with this, haven't you?
Completely. And it's always been there, though. That's the thing. It's always been there. Because it was about, God, it was, I don't know how many years ago, but years ago, I applied for The Apprentice, and I got through quite a few of the stages, and I didn't get it. And I thought,
it's funny, you know, you say that, because I've met a few people like that. I got to the last, cull, so it was about 20 of us. Or 24 of us, and I knew all the people that were on the show.
Yeah.
So it's funny how we all do things like this. And my mate Joe won it, you know, Joe Valenti, he won it.
Jesus.
Yeah. But
when I did that, I thought, I love this, you know, going to the interviews, I was bouncing forward.
Did you remember all the exercises you did in the interview process? It was so much fun.
Yeah.
That actually is probably a good job you weren't on that.
Yeah.
It probably would have branded you maybe in the not right
way. Yeah, in a different way.
But yeah, I just remember that so many funny. They had this cardboard box, banana skin, like empty film reel, and you had to stand up in front of a guy, in front of everyone, pick it up and sell him a banana skin and pitch it to him and all that kind of stuff. It was like,
crazy.
Loved it. Yeah.
But yeah, like I got a bit ahead of myself in those things. I made myself look a complete idiot at the end. So I thought I'll go in there, give it the big one, but yeah, that never worked. But yeah, like, going through that process, I loved that process. Like that was a passion. I was like buzzing for it. And when I didn't get it, I just thought, oh, right, that was that. And you know, I was in property and that sort of went. But I always thought I'd love to do something like that. So now I'm actually doing what I love.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just, honestly, it doesn't feel like work.
No.
It doesn't.
And now figuring a way how to monetize it.
Exactly.
Because I always say to people, you know what, if you do what you love, as long as there is a proven market out there and you're good at it as well, because, you know, I love playing the drums, but you only get £20 an hour and I'm not very good, so that won't work. But you know, you'll find a way to monetize it.
100%. And I think when you do something you love, and like if you'd have said to me, like even 18 months ago, like, oh, in 18 months, you'll be sitting with me with a camera and you will have done X, Y, Z. I go, not a chance. You know, I never thought I'd be doing videos with a camera. Like it wasn't going to happen. But it's just mad how life takes you down that. And you know,
if you jump on the wave.
Exactly. And meet as, and I always say to like my brother and sister, meet as many as people as you can. Meet as much people as you can. And you know, put out that energy and what you really want. And be passionate every day. And life does take you. It's law of attraction. But at the same time, you've got to work for that as well. One experience I want to tell you about.
Just before you do.
Yes.
Because I keep forgetting to ask.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. I asked you before the cameras went on, what do you actually do? And you found it really hard to answer. But I think it would just be cool for you to say what you do.
Yeah.
You're filming my bald spot on that camera. This is like the worst angle for me ever. So yeah, tell us all what you do, actually.
Yeah. So
what would you put on your CV?
So that's a good... So I've done, like, again, I don't know. Like, I'm a vlogger.
You're a blagger.
So, like, I focus on my YouTube channel now.
Yeah.
So a lot of the videos I do, like, this year I'm committing myself to do at least one video a week.
Yeah.
I'm sort of documenting my journey now, sort of thing. I want to, you know, once I sort of get wherever it is I'm going, I want to be able to look on back at these times and go, oh, do you remember that day I was in Peterborough?
Yeah.
So I'm just vlogging my journey. So that's the plan. But obviously at the same time, I'm looking to do like company videos and stuff, which just brings in.
So you're basically documenting your life and your passion.
Correct.
Now, that is cool, by the way. And I just want to say something to either young entrepreneurs watching or older entrepreneurs watching. 20 years ago, you ask everyone what they do. Solicitor, you know, a lawyer, a banker. And that's fine. I'm not knocking that.
Yeah.
Now you ask young kids what they do. I'm a YouTuber.
Yeah.
I'm a podcaster. I'm a vlogger. How much are you making? 50 grand a month? YouTube. What? It's world crazy. Has changed. And I think you've got to get on with it and embrace it. And people can document their life. I'm mates with Yanni, who has Yanomize. I don't know if you know that, the car wrapping business. He's just got a 12 episode TV show on Dave. Basically, because he wraps a load of supercars, and he's a really racy, fun, interesting personality. Awesome. And basically, he had a car wrapping business, did a few celebs, and now he's got a million followers on Instagram. And he's basically doing what he likes. And his business is more now about his Instagram followers, as it is wrapping cars. And he's doing 12 episode TV shows on Dave, which is massive.
It's crazy how it goes. Like with, because obviously with my videos, I've had a few approached by sponsors and stuff like that who want to be involved in what I'm doing, like putting a brand out there, things like that. So it's crazy how you can actually monetize that as well. Like the bigger you get, obviously, like I was actually reading, like listening to something on the way down, and it was saying like Logan Paul, one of the biggest YouTubers.
He's huge, isn't he?
Like one of his, like if he posts something for somebody else, according to Forbes, he gets like 60 grand a post. And then for his YouTube, he gets even more again.
Well, like, Ronaldo gets 300,000 a tweet if he endorses one of his brands. Rory McIlroy, you know, with Nike and Rolex and all that gets, I mean, obviously they're celebs. But this is a big thing at the moment, is the amount of followers you have and, you know, the subscribers you have. There's, not that you should turn them all into dollars, but there is a, you know, a pence or a pound amount per subscriber.
Yeah, definitely.
Whether you choose to sell ads or, you know, you can sell your other products or do subscriptions.
Exactly, that's
and that is the modern business model.
And I love it. And that's the thing, like, where I'm at the minute, like, because I love what I'm doing, I'm not even thinking about that. No. But it's still, like, I got, my YouTube account is monetized. So, like, when I
How do you monetize it?
So Google AdSense, so Google put all their adverts on it.
Right, so you get paid per view, basically.
Yeah, so all my channel, every video on my channel is monetized.
Right.
So you'll see adverts before.
So you basically get a recurring passive income on every video you've done, even
exactly
6 months or a year
ago. And that's exactly it, because like people say about like network marketing, things like that. YouTube sort of like that, because the more, like my McGregor video still gets like 1,000 views a day now.
Yeah.
So, you know, that keeps building up.
Probably and then more now.
Keep watering. And then, it's crazy. It just keeps building up. But don't get me wrong, I'm not earning a salary out of it at the minute. But at the same time, it's only going to grow. It's only going to get bigger. I'm only going to keep adding to it. And you just add into it, add into it, add into it. Like the McGregor will get 1,000 a day. Emmys will get 500, MTV 500, you know, it all adds up sort of thing, and that's every day.
Yeah. Well, I have just over 1.3 million subscribers now to my podcast.
Flipping
so out. How many of them are going to be, hopefully a lot of them, visiting your videos and all that kind of stuff? So
some going.
Yeah, well, thank you. And likewise.
Yeah, thanks.
So I've always said, and I think I was a bit slow on this, and I kicked myself, but hey, past is past. Every video you do, every podcast you do, every audio you do, because I come from property and so do you, I see it as an asset just like I see property as an asset.
Definitely.
If you put good content out there, if you help people, and with Logan Paul, it's more sort of entertainment.
Yeah.
With you, it's entertainment. But I'm trying to sort of do entertainment, but more information as well. So you can do like, I think the Americans call it edutainment, you know, where it's education and entertainment. You put good work out there, you put it on all the platforms like YouTube and podcast and wherever else, and that could be watched for the next 5, 10, 15 years. Listen
exactly.
to millions of listens, subscriptions. So you know you said you want to do one video a week. I reckon you should do more. I think you're such an interesting guy. With such an, I mean, I only normally interview very, very high level sort of celebrity type people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wanted to get you on the show because you're such an interesting guy.
Oh, I appreciate
that. So I think more than one, not telling you what to do.
Well, my plan is with it is that when I go back to America, hopefully like February, March, I want to up it to like a daily vlog.
Yes.
I want to document
it. I mean, Gary Vee does the daily one, doesn't
exactly.
he?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's my plan. I want to do the daily vlog, but it's so much work. Yeah. Like, it's
do you
so
edit
much
it?
Work. Yeah, so I've got a couple
Can
of...
Can edit out my, my bald patch?
So, like, I've got a couple of editors, but then I do some myself. But obviously, when you're traveling and like Gary Vee's got D-Rock with him, like he obviously if he goes somewhere, it's everything's twice the cost, isn't it? So it's like
you should challenge yourself to do that though, because your next level maybe is blagging your video guy in with you to all these. That would be good.
That'd be good. But yeah, like, so that's the plan, to do a daily vlog and just see where it goes from there. But I am trying to get more out, but I want to do at least one. That's like my minimum for it.
Sure.
But the story I wanted to tell
you,
right?
Yes, please.
So when I was in Boston, like, talking about Gary Vee, I love Gary Vee. Mm. And I was looking at his schedule of when he was speaking. It was like, he's in Boston. I was like, he's in Boston? I was like, I'm in Boston. And he said he was speaking at this Empower Summit. This is before the Mayweather thing when I was in Boston. So I'm like, the Empower Summit? I'm like, what's that? I'm like, oh, I don't care what it is. I'll just go. So I go to this Empower Summit. I walk straight into this Empower, like, rewind a bit. I looked at the tickets and they were like £1,000. I was like, £1,000? I was like, no chance. So I walked straight in to this Empower Summit, and it turned out it was a martial arts thing. There's people selling like gym equipment, like there was gym owners there doing marketing and stuff, and he was speaking to all these basically martial arts gym owners. And I watched him speak. I blagged it in, sat two rows from the front, and I watched Gary Vee speak. And at the end of it, I collared him and I was just like, oh, hi, Gary, nice to meet you. I had a good chat with him, like, really, really nice guy. And I just said to him at the end, I said, Gary, look, I'll kick myself if I go and don't ask you this question. And he was like, yeah, man, go for it, go for it. So I just said, is there any chance at all I could have some sort of opportunity to work with you in any way, shape, or form? And he went, do you know what? He goes, I loved how you asked that question and I love your demeanor. And he said, sure. He said, when I'm on the Amtrak back to New York, he said, like, drop me an email now. And he goes, I'll reply and we'll set something up.
Yeah.
And I emailed him, he emailed me back. I spoke to his office manager, Andy. And yeah, like, literally, I had an opportunity to work there. But the only reason I didn't take it was because of this TV show that I'm working on.
Right.
And obviously, I didn't want to sort of commit to that, let him down and do stuff like that. But, you know,
basically, you just ask.
You just ask. Yeah. And that's what
I love that line, by the way, because I like to pick out little things. If someone said to me, I'd kick myself if I didn't ask you this, that would be a brilliant opener.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you said, hey, Rob, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to pitch you something, but I'd kick myself if I didn't, if I traveled 2,000 miles to see you and didn't ask this question. Yeah. I'd be like emotionally guilted into giving you a job.
But that's the thing, again, going back to you saying, is anything scripted? Like, that wasn't scripted to the point when I was speaking to him. I was like, Gary, nice to meet you. And I thought, I'm just going to ask him. Fuck it. And then I just went, Gary, look, I'm going to kick myself. You know, it wasn't scripted up to everything I do or say when I go to these places or speak to people is up to the last second. And again, it's if you don't ask, you don't get.
No,
fact.
True.
Fact. Yeah. And, you know, I asked him and it paid off. And I've done that throughout my whole life. I've asked people, you know, can I have an opportunity? And I've always had that opportunity. Yeah, there's some that turn you down, don't get me wrong. But, you know, those opportunities that you get, you never know.
No. Have you ever, with all of these sort of blagging, getting yourself in these big arenas and shows, ever not got through, got turned down?
Never.
No, wow.
Never. I swear now, like, obviously.
You might say, now. Everyone's going
to
be like.
If I'd have turned up to somewhere and
wanted.
Not got it. Yeah. Well, there's a few pictures been going around Facebook. Some big security company shared a photo of me saying, watch out for Simon Wilson. He's an industry nightmare.
Wow.
He infiltrates events.
You're going to have to dye your hair and grow a beard.
I know. Well, I put glasses on like originally for the sports personality one, but I didn't like them, so I just took them off.
Yeah. But, cool, yeah. Man. So anything else you just want to share or talk about?
The only thing I'd say, if anybody's got an idea, no matter how crazy it is, like literally if everybody thinks you're weird for thinking it, you've just got to do it.
Yeah.
It's just as simple as that. You just never know. And like one of the biggest people I follow in New York is called Casey Neistat. He's a big vlogger. Like, love Casey. Great guy. And one thing he said in his videos like ages ago, which has always stayed with me, is that people think you're weird until you start creating a trend. And I remember when I put my first vlog out, I was sat by my table in my room with an iPhone on a stand. And I was like, this is my first vlog, right? This year I'm gonna do the thing. And everybody was messaging me after going, Simon, have you lost your mind? Like, what are you actually doing?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm just starting a vlog, Simon, like vlog, ha ha ha. Like people laughing at me. And now those same people ask me, what do I use to make a vlog?
Yeah.
You know, something's not cool until it becomes cool.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not saying I'm cool, but you know, you've just got to do it basically. Yeah. Just do it. And you know, like I used to skate around on a little penny board. It's like 22 inch penny board. People are like, oh my God, they're for like 10 year olds. I'm like a 26 year old kid. But now, oh, that's a sick penny board. Where'd you get a penny board from?
Yeah.
You know,
you just got to have the courage to do what you want to do that's right for you.
Be different and just
I've got this shirt. This
like
one, right? And everyone keeps telling me I'm some kind of like East Asian military leader or some kind of like war. It's a 400 quid Givenchy shirt and people are like completely taking the piss out of me out of it. I'm going to take your advice. I'm going to start a trend. This is my shirt and
yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, do it, definitely.
This podcast is called The Disruptive Entrepreneur, and I just thought you fit the bill so well. What does the word disruptive mean to you?
Just causing problems. Like, but when I say causing problems, I mean like creating waves, do you get me? Making a difference, you know, making a mark in your industry. Yeah. That's what it means to me.
All right, cool. And where should people follow you? Where do you want people to go to?
So if you type in Simon Wilson into YouTube, my channel should be the first one that comes up. Instagram, it's Simon J. Wills, so SimonJWILS. Same for Facebook and same for Twitter. But YouTube's the one.
Follow you around the world doing your crazy
stunts. Yeah, it's gonna be a crazy year, that's for sure.
Cool. Simon, look, thanks a lot for your time. I hope you've had a good
time. Thanks very much, mate. Appreciate it.
All your followers as well. I'm seeing my bald spot.
I'll make sure I take that.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks very much, mate. Thanks. I like your watch. It's lovely, that.
Thank you. Yeah, I've got a bit of a watch spending addiction. I can't help it.
I love the APs. They're so nice.
They are the best. Connor's got a load of APs. He's always throwing some AP.
Loves them, doesn't he? Yeah. Him and his mischief have got the matching ones, haven't they? Crazy. Yeah.